Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Agape Match. Agape Match is a boutique matchmaking service that helps exceptional singles find meaningful connections and relationships. To learn more about our matchmaking services, online dating makeovers and takeovers, or to enroll in an upcoming group coaching intensive, go to agapematch.com. Welcome to the Ask a Matchmaker podcast. I'm your host, Matchmaker Maria. For over a decade, I have combined four generations of family matchmaking tradition with modern relationship psychology, behavioral science, and dating trends. With this unique expertise, each week I answer your dating and relationship questions on the podcast and online. If you're not already following me, weird, but also find me on Instagram. I'm at Matchmaker Maria. This week's episode, I am speaking to Melissa Hobley. Melissa Hobley is the Global Chief Marketing Officer of OkCupid, one of the largest dating apps in the world. Under her direction, OkCupid has become famous for its message of inclusion and affirmation, winning numerous awards for its breakthrough social campaign in 2018 and 2019. In this role, she's responsible for the global brand advertising. So if you have noticed some really cheeky ads on the New York City subway, that's all Melissa. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Melissa was the first CMO at OkCupid, and she's brought the brand from decline to being one of the foremost leaders in the competitive space of the dating industry. Melissa regularly appears as an expert on tech and relationships in media like the New York Times and NPR. Currently, she's a regular guest on NBC's Today Show discussing relationships in a digital era. And she's a Midwest native. Melissa currently resides in New York City with her husband and two young daughters. She is outspoken about issues facing under-resourced women and children and has written pieces for Fast Company and other media outlets sharing her perspective. Melissa, welcome to the Ask a Matchmaker podcast.
Maria, thank you so much. And thank you for that intro. I'm just going to play that on like a bad day. That was so lovely.
How is your day going? Because I feel like we both, we can see each other on video. And I feel like we both just kind of like look like frantic moms this morning.
Fully frantic moms. My day was fine, but I need to hear about your day.
Okay. So today I discovered like 30 minutes ago, not even like 10 minutes ago, why dance moms are... First of all, why that's even a thing, like dance moms, because it's not about dance. Like we don't say like lacrosse moms, or maybe we do. I don't know. My kids are not old enough to experience that yet. But like, you know, like dance moms, like when I say dance mom, people have like an image.
Yeah. No, you know that that dance moms is a unique thing. You know, it's right. You know, dance moms, like you're dealing with a particular breed when you say that.
And I discovered why. I discovered how this breed is created. So my son is starting tap dancing and ballet tomorrow.
Love that.
And I know, right? I love it too. It's all he talks about. He's so excited. He keeps rewatching that video where that little four-year-old is singing Respect while tap dancing.
This move. And yes.
Yeah. The sass.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I want to do that. So, okay. Anyway, so his first class.
Your son.
I know. He's amazing. His first class is tomorrow, which is a Friday.
Okay.
And on Wednesday, I receive what he needs to have. And it says, like, he needs this kind of tap shoes and this kind of ballet shoes. Here are two stores that you could buy these from. So I go to the one store. And, okay, so first off, let's talk about these stores. They do not have normal business hours. It's not like 10 to 7. It's like 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Or yeah. Like this first store was 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So I'm kind of like idling around this morning, you know, and I have to bring this toddler with me. And we get there and they don't have, you know, the buckle up tap dance shoes. So we're like, okay, maybe we could get away with lace. And I put it on him.
but I can't tell if he's walking right. Cause you know, he's a 12 and I'm like, okay, so do I want a 12 and a half or do I put him in a 13? Cause they're tap dance shoes. Like what does he need? And I am seeing him walk around and I'm like, I am so out of my depth here. Like, I don't know if the 13 is too big on him because they're so tight at the same time, just like the way of the structure of the shoe. And then finally this mom comes in. I'm like, are you a tap dance mom? And she's like, yes. And I was like, do these shoes, like, do they look okay on him? And she's like, he shouldn't be wearing lace-ups. You should need to go get like the buckle-ups. And I was like, oh, she goes, don't shop at this store. They don't have the right brands for this. Like there's better ones. And I was like, okay, where's that? And she's like, she tells me like, she goes, gotta go to Berkeley Heights. Okay, I go in my car. Like I've now, so first of all, I have to deal with this 3-year-old. He's about to turn 4, but he starts crying. He's like, we're supposed to get tap shoes. Now I don't have tap shoes.
He's already upset. But by the way, you did the right thing. You asked a mom and she totally steered you right. So that was good. Win. Right. That's a win.
Right. Okay. That's a win, right? So now I'm trying to calm him in the car. I put in the address and it's like, the store opens from 1 to 5. And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like, what are these hours? So now I'm like, all right, let me bring him home. Let me record this podcast. And then when this is done, I got to hop in my car with him. And I hope to God, because, you know, they don't answer their phones either. No, I hope to God they have his size. I hope to God, you know, it's like, just like
you
really,
you cannot,
frustrating.
You cannot disappoint him twice today on the tap shoe front. They need to have tap shoes.
And that's where I was like, this is how dance moms are crazy. Like the whole introduction to this world is chaos.
Yeah.
Like how are there no, and they know it's crazy. It's like how many dance stores exist in this area? Cause I'm like, oh, it can't just be Berkeley Heights. I'm sure there's tons of dance classes. The hours are nuts. Like one store was 5 to 7 PM. I was like, what?
Yeah. And
what?
They may not be open then. And you have to do the first ones. You have to go in person because I was a dancer as a little kid and I have kids in dance, although mine are like the same. How old are your kids?
He turns 4 in a month.
Yeah, and I have a 4 and a 2.
Okay, yeah, and my other one's 15 months. Wow, okay. All right. So you and I, parallel lives.
We are in it.
Yeah.
You have the first time you have to get them like fitted. You have to know what size. After that, you can order online and you'll save $1 jillion. But you'll...
I got to say, though, my son is a toe walker. And I get him high tops and that helps a lot. It brings his foot down. But watching him in the tap shoes where he was like forced by the weight to have his whole foot down, he looked so ridiculous. It was adorable. I can't wait for him to start tap dancing. I am so excited. Oh, and then after that today, I have to go to Dick's Sporting Goods store and buy him some shin guards because we also have soccer mom on Saturday.
I was like, I thought you were going to say shin guards for tap. I was like, what kind of tap is he in? And I might need to like try it out. But for soccer.
We have soccer on Saturday. So good luck to him anyway.
Good luck to you. Right. I love that he is in tap and ballet. That is awesome. And
that's all he's
by the way,
out.
That's going to help him with soccer. My brother was in dance and it helped him. With soccer, because he was.
You think he'll pirouette into the offside, or
pirouette right into the net, grand jeté right over that defensive player. There you go.
So, Melissa, I'm so obsessed with OKCupid's advertising campaign this year. Like, what is happening?
Oh my God! Thank you so much. I am obsessed with your dating advice, Maria. I obsessively click on your if you guys are not on following her on Instagram, you are missing out. You like speak some serious dating truth, and I am so here for it. It is amazing, and it's also what people need to hear, and it's really good advice. Like, you know what you're doing, and as someone who's also in this business, I think that like if you join OKCupid or a dating app, you should also be forced to like follow your Instagram because you're going to get all the advice that you need from Maria.
Oh yeah. And there's a few like dating, like meme generators too, that come out. But I think like, I also like to follow Erica's at A Little Nudge because she'll also show like, here's what messaging is like online and like how you could improve or the thought process.
A little nudge.
That's a little nudge. That's a really good one. So OkCupid has historically been one of the most progressive dating sites in terms of inclusivity. And I think, you know, when you see these advertising, this advertisement, it's really, I don't want to say it's aggressive, but it kind of is. Even not from the message standpoint, from the color standpoint, it's like, the colors that are being used are pop out, like pay attention. Here's what's happening. Get on with it.
Thank you so much. Yes. So our marketing has become known for being provocative and in your face and a little bold. And we try to say something. I think, listen, we get it. Dating is hard. I talk to date at OkCupid, I'm talking to daters all day on all parts of the world. And the one thing that cuts across like cultures and time zones and continents is that dating is tough. And I think that what's, you know, what I love about OkCupid is they let us do crazy shit as long as it is rooted in a real truth. And the campaign we turned on in Chicago and LA and New York and Berlin and coming soon to a city near you, perhaps, is that OkCupid is for every single person. Get that like play on words. And we call out groups that have been mostly ignored by dating culture, many industries, and groups that to this point have told us like, we feel taboo, we feel hidden. And so one of those groups would be if you're non-binary. Dating is hard. You know, it's really effing hard is dating if you're non-binary. That is really difficult. Most dating apps are built on a system if you are a man or a woman, and this is how we will match you. And the technology behind how dating apps actually work is super interesting, but it is not that interesting at a lot of dating apps. At OkCupid, it's really complicated and hard because we want to make sure that if you are non-binary, we have a system that really respects who you are. And first of all, makes you feel so good about that because that's awesome, whatever you are. If you're trans, if you're straight, if you're young, if you're old, if you want kids, if you don't want kids, if you're non-monogamous, if you're pansexual. And we, this new campaign in really bold, colorful, cool ways says that and actually puts in giant font on the New York City subway and all over LA and all over Chicago, for every single pansexual, for every single non-binary, for every single vegetarian, and it's these two hot women making out, for every single cuddler.
Oh yeah, the cuddling one is my favorite. So many like hands reaching out. That's like my nightmare. Yeah. Like look at the video and I'm like, oh, that's a new Twilight nightmare that's going to haunt my dreams. But you know, it's effective. If you're someone who's, who wants to meet people that are, you know, into physical touch in that extreme. You know, people have asked me many times, like, what's your favorite dating site? And listen, I've had a few CEOs from different dating sites on here, and I will obviously promote them because I think that some products are really good in the market. But for me personally, I never got to personally use Hinge or Tinder because those things came out after I met my husband.
Right.
Well, at the time he was my boyfriend, but I was already in a committed relationship. Now, obviously I've joined these things to, from like a client perspective, like see what my clients are going through. You know, we have someone on our staff, Erica, whose entire job is to help people online date better. But what I always, when people ask me like, okay, but what would you use? I always say, well, I would use OkCupid, and I'll tell you why. It has to, it's funny because it's like, you know, so much of your ad campaign is about the filter, right? It's not about the swipe, it's about the filter.
Yeah.
But that's actually one of the things that I loved about OkCupid. When I used OkCupid for 2-3 years, I think. I used it for 4 years. And the thing that I love was that I could filter, and I'll tell you what I could filter. So, okay, let me take a 2 steps back. For me personally, I didn't online date a lot because I'm very tall and I knew I was being discriminated against because of my height online. That does happen. I'm sure it still happens.
Yeah.
And I knew that I just, as an extrovert, I would just do really well in person. So I remember when I would online date, it would be for a very specific thing. And I was like, maybe I should try dating Greek guys. Now, on almost all online dating sites, you cannot filter for the religion that I belong to. It's usually Christian, Catholic, Protestant. The yep. denomination of, you know, Eastern Orthodox or Greek Orthodox just does not exist.
Yeah.
And a lot of, if Eastern Orthodox exists, a lot of people that are Greek don't subscribe to that. So they'll hit other or they'll hit Christian. And there was just no way, like you couldn't put in the keyword search Greek because then you get a ton of people who were involved in Greek life, not necessarily Greek people in real life.
Oh, that's so interesting. Right. They're right. like, you know, Sigma Nu. You're like, that's not exactly what I meant by Greek, but.
Right, right. Yeah. And so what I would do is when I online dated, and I've done this for some of my clients too, like if they were Persian, they want to date someone else who's Persian, you couldn't really filter for Persian, but you could filter for languages spoken. So OkCupid, I think, is still the only online dating site that lets you filter by language spoken. So I would hit on there and be like, okay, I want to talk to people who speak Greek. And I would hit it and it would show me all of the Greek people who had put that down as speaking
Greek.
That
is so awesome to hear. I believe we still are the only app that lets you filter on that, but that's so wonderful to hear. And thanks also for...
There's like another app and that's based out of Europe that has thought about doing that after I told them, like, hey, you know, you should have languages spoken because you're in Europe. And like, you know, it's funny. The other thing that's happened, I think, is I don't know if online dating site executives understand that there are subcultures in America that have nothing to do with like sexual orientation. It has to do with just identity.
Yes.
But you know, when other dating apps go to Europe, they don't have to deal with this because like, let's say if you're a single person in Greece, well, 90% of the profiles you're going to see are Greek people.
Right.
Like there is no one asking for this in those countries.
Right.
But there are people asking here, like, you know, I know Jewish people don't ask for it because they, not only do they have Jewish apps, but even on OkCupid or all of them, you could filter by Jewish. Right. But it's like the smaller, like, you know, for instance, I'll give you a really good, for instance, I have a lot of clients who are Jane. Do you know what Jane is, Melissa?
Wait, I don't know if I know what Jane is.
Okay. So Jane is a type of religion that a very small percentage of Indian people belong to, especially the Northeast.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It's kind of like, I think it's like the priesthood of Hinduism or something. It's something like above. It's something, it's very, and in fact, I live near a Jain community center, but J-A-I-N. And Agape Match, actually, we always have at least one or two Jain clients for whatever reason, even though it's a very small percentage.
Interesting.
There is no one catering to them except for like one Indian online dating site. And it's like, how are you not filtering for this? Because, you know, you can't filter language for them. They're also going to say, you know, Gujarati or Hindi or whatever. It's going to be
very different. That's so interesting.
Because Jains live among Hindus.
Filter on that because we are one of the most popular dating apps in India. And we've been investing in that region. And I have a couple of folks on my team that are fully dedicated to India. So I'm looking at my OkCupid app right now. And
maybe you guys do filter for that. It's just, it's not as popular.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I'm saying like there's such small identities in this country, which is I think what makes America amazing, but there's like a missed opportunity. And I think OkCupid has been the only one time and time again to just kind of reach into that opportunity to just be that group.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And so then with your this year's ad campaign, who you had these two Italian artists develop, right?
Yeah, Maurizio Catalan is if for folks listening that are into the art world, they will know who he is. He's prolific. He's the guy that duct taped the banana to the wall and someone bought it for $150,000. Like I think there's a story there, like that wasn't his intent. He did a solid gold toilet. He does provocative, interesting work. And when we were doing a campaign a couple years ago called DTF, we worked with him. He's just an interesting, hyper-creative person. He also, by the way, just shot the cover of Vanity Fair and shot all these insane, you know, your favorite people in Hollywood. He just shot the cover of New York Magazine, the cast of Succession. So he is an artist first and foremost, but he also does really cool, interesting work. Like he's always at Anna Wintour's table at the Met Gala. So he's this large in life personality, but he really cared about making a statement with us. And you know, the filtering thing is so important because so much of what you get frustrated with the dating app is like, why are you showing me this person? And it's because it's largely based on like location and maybe like you're both looking for long term. But what's compatibility is about, do you want someone that has, that is the same religion? Do you want someone that's also liberal or progressive? Do you want someone that cares about climate change? Do you want someone that loves travel? And the other dating apps are not asking you what you think about that. And they are not asking, do you want this to be a part of your algorithm? And they're not asking you, how important is this? And we ask all three of those things on, we have 3,000 questions. So you can answer 3,000 questions. And if,
what's your favorite OkCupid question?
Oh, that's a really, really good one. You know, I have a lot right now. It's a, it'd be related to politics. And it would be related to, you know, reproductive rights is a huge issue in this country. We're the only dating app with a pro-choice filter. So that might be my favorite question right now. And by the way, that is a real issue. If you're dating someone, that may be something that, you know, comes up in your relationship. So,
well, pregnancy is a consequence of sex.
Turns out.
You know, it turns out. So I think it's really important to be on the same page for certain things.
And what you believe in is what makes you who you are. And it's also really hot. It's really hot to know, not that somebody lives in Murray Hill or in West Hollywood, or Bucktown. I mean, that is hot if they live in Bucktown. What's really hot is if they are passionate about animal rights. That is really hot. What's also important is if you care a lot about the environment and you're taking steps to do that, you're not going to think of all the little fights you're going to have all day with somebody who isn't that engaged, or worse, doesn't believe it's a real thing. And is always like getting the plastic and is buying cases and cases of water bottles and is like not thinking about the box you tick where it says, please don't send me the plastic silverware, Seamless or Grubhub. Just imagine all of the little like fights you're going to have all day, every
the
day.
The microaggressions of a relationship.
We know that we're good at this. We have the favorite part of my job is I get invited to so many weddings. Like, I actually became ordained because someone said when I started the job, like, we're so happy we met. Thank you, OkCupid. You guys should marry us. Ha ha. And I was like, LOL, just getting ordained. Like, you know.
I love that.
And we are always working on that too, by the way. Like, the questions in OkCupid, the filters are a living, breathing organism. So right now we are adding more questions about reproductive rights.
Yeah. I think though, also, it doesn't have to even be like the massive filters that you're talking about in this ad campaign. They are really big topics, but I also think that there is those 3,000 questions. I feel like they also have a bit of a grasp on your value set that is more than the filter. Because here's the thing, right? I think a lot of men, I think more men than we know, are feminists. I just don't think they know what it means.
Yeah.
And now I personally don't want to date someone who does not know what it means, because I want to be with someone who's already been educated in that. But I could see maybe if I was 23, you know, I don't know. I feel like the younger generation knows everything, but we rarely underestimating these people. I'll give you a really quick example. When I used OkCupid, my most favorite question, it was two questions, actually. The first one was, is the thought of a nuclear winter exciting? And then the weight, like, you know, how you have to weight how important this is to you. And the other question was, is morality relative? These two questions to me were my most favorite, because I knew that if other people shared the same answers in these particular questions, first of all, it does not mean that we agree on what morality is or what nuclear, like, that does not. But it did mean, if we shared the same answers in these particular questions, it did mean that we had the same critical thinking skills.
Wow.
So for instance, that. I'll give you an answer for one of these, right? For me, like, I think the thought of a nuclear winter is exciting. I don't mean it's exciting for me. I think that's going to be devastating for my life. But I can look from a macro level like, wow, that would be like, what a historic event that would be. It's like when Donald Trump, well, President Trump, when he was running, I remember writing a Facebook status saying, you know, could you imagine if he becomes the Republican nominee, how exciting that's going to be? People always assume exciting is a positive word.
Right.
And it's not. And like, it's, I remember, not, like, the people that reacted to that post, the people that agree, I don't think they agree, but we have the same we are on the same critical thinking plane. They were like, you're right. That would be really exciting. What a shit show that's going to be. And then other people were like, what are you talking about? I thought you didn't like him. And I go, yeah, I still don't like him, but it's still going to be really, still be a very exciting season in the media.
Yes. I think you said that really beautifully. And also that they would take the time to answer that question and not skip over or opt into it is also
right.
Telling.
Some people do. Yeah, that's right.
Right. And it shows that you're going to have a really great conversation on the date because they find those questions interesting. They like to think about questions like that, wanting to be with someone, having a happy long-term relationship. If that's what you're looking for is it might be that you both can be passionate about the same thing, or at least not at opposite ends, but it is also that you approach situations in a similar way. And
in the same prism. You're still on the same plane. I think one of the things that when people ask me now, like, you know, is how important is that? Oh God, one of the most popular questions I get is like, you know, how important is that we share the same political party? And I was like, it's not as important as people think, but you still have to share the same moral plane.
Yeah.
You still have to live in the same reality. Now, for some people, there is a reality where President Trump won the election. I'm not saying it's a correct reality, but that is their reality in the sense of that's their bubble. That is where they live. That's what they breathe. And if you're a person who does not believe in that reality, it's going to be really hard to date this person and also be in that environment. This is a very American thing, by the way, because in America, we're so mobile as a population that we do somehow, we move to areas, like I know plenty of people who open up Wikipedia to see how did this township vote before I make an offer on a house. Like we put ourselves in these little bubbles, both sides, right. Okay? And we're surrounded by people who think like us. And then you go to Europe where people are not mobile. They're not mobile compared to us. And there's many reasons for that. And one of those reasons is you can't really sell your house until your loan is paid off. It's not like we have here with equity. So as a result, you know, you have people who are staying where they were raised and you have to just learn to be around people. And that's why you have like, you know, you look at a parliament, there's like 17 different parties. You know, the communists are represented and the fascists are represented. Yeah. Like everyone's there, you know, and here it's like two things. True. And it's like you have to be in the blue bubble or the red bubble. God forbid we make a purple bubble and we find a way to coexist. But again, it goes back to are we agreeing on the shared reality? And if we're not, that's going to be really tough.
That's going to be really difficult. That's right. Sometimes what I'll hear or see on OkCupid is I don't need them to agree with me on this answer, but I need them to be engaged. And what
is that an option? What you just said, those words, is that how the weight is worded now?
Essentially set up to to get to that. Meaning, you know, you might go on the date and actually the debate, the discourse is the turn on.
Nice.
But essentially that you could not, so many people are saying to me, I mean, some people say like, I need someone that is voting on the same, whatever, you know, I need someone that is in this place. And that's okay if that's what you want. There are a lot of people that are also saying they don't have to agree, they cannot be turned off from that. I want someone that wants to have the conversation and maybe, you know, even better that they're open. You know, we can't use the James Carville, Mary Matlin, like is too old an example. And you can't really use like Kellyanne Conway and her husband because that's a bit strange. I'm thinking of like, you know, famous couples that are on.
I'm thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver. I think that's a purple relationship. Well, it's mostly dark blue, but that's a purple relationship that I see.
Right. Right. Until they divorced, but yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, they divorced for other reasons. They didn't divorce because of politics.
He had an affair with the housekeeper or something, right? Anyway.
I'm talking about like the 90s Schwarzeneggers, but yes.
Yes, correct. Yes. But it is important. You know, you're hitting on something that's really important and that you probably advise so many of your clients on, which is, you know, you having shared reality, having like the same, you know, a similar moral compass, caring about the same issues, engaging on those issues. I'm much more politically inclined than my husband. He's Australian. He's Chinese.
He's hot, by the way. I totally checked out his Instagram. Like, holy shit, girl.
He's
good
really
for
hot.
You.
Thanks.
I know everyone's going to go on Instagram now and be like, okay, so if you want to know her Instagram, what's Melissa's Instagram?
It's Melissa Hobley. It's M-E-L-I-S-S-A-H-O-B-L-E-Y.
So you'll find a photo somewhere of her family. Just good looking dude. I was like, you're damn, Melissa, so sweet. Good for you.
He's hot. Yeah.
And he looks smart. So you were saying, so he's not as politically inclined. Well, of course, he's not American.
No, he's not American. He's Australian. He's like, I actually cannot believe that some of these things are like debated. And, you know, but it's so lovely to have someone with a different worldview. You know, in Australia, voting is mandatory. Like, he's like, I just cannot believe people in America don't show up at elections. Not because...
In Greece, it's mandatory, too. And in fact, when you go vote, you have the option of just putting in a blank piece of paper if you want that, your protest vote.
Interesting.
And I love that. Has the protest
become more popular?
Of course. Well, it's always existed. They count the white. You know, by the way, protest / apathetic. Like, there are people who just don't want to participate and they put in a blank vote, but you still have to show up.
You have to show up, or you get like a big time.
We deserve the democracy we elect. And, you know, people forget that sometimes.
People do forget that. They do forget that. And also, you know, I'll tell you what I love about this, regardless of where you stand on issues or if you're aligned to a party or whatever. It is just so awesome that people are putting the stuff that they care about on their profiles and they're using filters to help do that. Because, you know, the rap that dating apps have had for a long time is like, oh, it's about hot or not. When you and I were on they weren't apps then. When you and I were on dating sites back in the day, the profiles were rich and you knew a lot about them and you took your time because you were on a computer.
There was no option to swipe. That's right. You were on a computer. I'll never forget the day I opened up OkCupid on an iPad. Right? And I was like, oh my God, I can do this from my bed. Like, it was such a shocking. Now people swipe on the toilet. People swipe on a line at Starbucks.
They
drive through. Starbucks drive through.
Right? They are just
so.
Yes, and it's partly because, you know, I can understand it from, like, you know, someone who's in tech that, you know, Uber is easy and it's sleek and it's very quick. You can get a home mortgage quickly and beautifully and easily. You can pick a flight. You can do all these things, and we've designed that interface and those apps to make it easy and quick and super simple. But the reality is that dating, actually, you should not be making decisions on other humans that quickly. And when there's not a lot of information on a profile, you are going to make that decision pretty quickly, and it's going to be largely based on how they look. And women are doing this just as not, if not more so than the guys. They think that the guys are the ones that are appearance driven, but women.
No, aren't. I think women are. I think women are the at least at work, I see that women are the biggest offenders when it comes to looks, which is shocking because the fact of the matter is, if a woman was at a wedding and she was standing at the open bar and a guy who was exactly her height just start talking to her, made her laugh, made her feel acknowledged, made her feel seen, maybe dance with her. She's like, yeah, I want him. Like, we're good. Like, I like him. And, exactly. But suddenly if he's on the app, it's like, you know what though? I'll tell you something. I'll tell you what my biggest pet peeve is online. What? When men, it's always white men. When they answer the question, the most spontaneous thing you've ever done, and the answer is always, I quit my job and I went hiking, or I quit my job and I went to this vacation. And I'm just like, do you come from a family of wealth? Like, aren't you scared about not having health insurance?
Right.
Like, how do you quit your job? Like, what? To go hiking? Like, what? Like, that's probably my biggest pet peeve.
That's a good pet peeve. It doesn't say a whole lot about you, which is the point of that question, is to like.
Oh, but I'll get women who are like, what are you talking about, Maria? Like I want to meet someone who's like that spontaneous. Like, oh, you want to meet someone who doesn't have healthcare, like in America? Like, if he was British and he said, I quit my job, I'm like, oh, okay, lad, good for you. Yeah. Like, that makes sense. You've got the NHS.
Yes. But here, be careful. You better live in a bubble, because if something happens to you, you're going to bankrupt yourself.
You better hike on sand. Like, God forbid you break your arm.
But this is, you know, but that's the thing, right? Is like putting more information on your profiles, not just saying like, I quit my job and I went hiking. No, it's, I was in a job, maybe, you know, I was in a job that actually I was supposed to be in, and it wasn't me. And so it was so risky. Like, So, you know, to go back to the point of like,
to provide context. Yeah.
Yes. And bringing your beliefs to your profile is so, it will help you get matches. We see this. If you are talking about issues and things that you care about, you are more likely to get right swipes and messages. And that's also important because it slows you down. It is telling a story about who you really are, and that give somebody something to respond to and say, oh, you know, I see that you're really into like animal rescue. I have always wanted to, how did you like get into that?
It's good message bait. It's good message bait for people to.
I love that phrase, message bait. I like that.
Yeah, that's an Erica Etten phrase that I've co-opted the last 2 years. Anyway, so I have two questions for you. The first one is, let's say I'm a person, and I know she listens to this podcast, so yes, I am talking about you. So let's say you are a person who lives in Iowa and you are struggling with dating, and you feel like the kind of guy I want, I can't find him here. Everyone is, you know, everyone is like this and I'm like that, and I just can't, what do I do? Can they find love on OkCupid in Iowa?
I really hope so. As an Indiana girl, Iowa, I really, really hope so. And I will say, because we insert ourselves into conversations outside of dating, like, you know, we were the only dating app with a Black Lives Matter badge and matching component, because we saw that conversation happening in bars and on dates, and we saw it happening on profiles, and we wanted to make it easier. If you cared really deeply about that movement, and we still have that still part of the algorithm if you want it to be, it's there. And so what happened was it helped draw people in, especially in places like Iowa and Indiana and Kansas and Missouri and states where it might feel a little bit harder to find your person or to find someone that is interested in things that you are or leans a certain way politically. It definitely drew more people to them. But here's what we should do. I'm very happy. Let's hook her up with premium OkCupid, which gets you lots of bells and whistles. And that's our like $40 a month version. OkCupid is free, by the way. You have a wonderful experience. Free. Most of our success is from free people that are on the site for free. But that feature is helpful. And I would love to help a fabulous person in Iowa find love.
So, I am such a big proponent. If there's an option for premium, pay it for 3 months. Like, pay it for at least 3 months. I'm such a stickler for this. Like, I think, you know, just it's not a big deal. Like, you know, it's just, if there's a way to it's like, if someone told you, if you're looking for a job, hey, for $40, I can put your resume at the top of the batch. Wouldn't you just do that too?
Wouldn't you just do that? Don't we? Yeah, haven't we all done that on LinkedIn? We were like really looking for the job, and it's like, you're like, ooh, $30 or $40 a month. If that gets you a paycheck a few months
earlier. If that gets you the future parent of your child.
Exactly. I'm looking for love. And by the way, is this one of the things that frustrates you so much? My pet peeve about dating is, I will talk to people, and I'm sure you do, they are at the top of their field. They are so smart. They are killing it in their career. They have a wonderful friend circle. They are really, you know, I don't know, maybe active in their church. They're active in volunteering. And then you say, like, I really can't find anyone. Well, what are you doing about that? And the answer is like crickets. And I really get so frustrated that, you know, we put so much into the job, the friends, the house, the home decor. I don't know, maybe flipping houses, maybe like old bones. But you are not putting hardly anything into your future spouse or
there's
partner.
Like no investment. And I think...
Yeah.
I can see where that frustrates you especially, but yeah, like I see that too. I don't see it as much now. I feel like with the pandemic, people started, at least in my bubble, I've noticed that people started investing. I mean, so many women have joined, you know, my boot camp, whatever, my Agape intensive. And it's always, you know, that's an investment in itself. And
yeah,
and it's interesting to see like how they go forward from that. Okay. So Melissa, before we depart for today, and this was such a fun interview and I'm so happy you're here. I could probably talk to you
this
forever.
This was so fun. I want to invite
But we still have one major question here. So I would like to know, what are the two biggest mistakes you see on OkCupid, like from a user experience, and then what, give us two hacks that if someone is on or is going to join OkCupid after today's podcast, like what are the two hacks to be better?
Totally. So biggest mistakes are one, not filling out your profile enough.
Key. So key. That's same for matchmaking, by the way. Like I can't, it's so hard to consider people's potential matches for my VIP clients when your profile's not filled out. Like if it's not filled out, I'm just never going to see, it's never going to appear in a search for me.
And it sends a message that like, maybe what's probably happening is that you're nervous and you don't know what to say. Cause everybody does. It's like when you first fill out your resume, like, oh my God, this is so painful. What do I say? But it might, you know, for some people like, well, I don't know, they're lazy or they're not interested. Or they're not really like here to like
meet. Oh, I think it's because people sign up at 1 AM for most of these things or for online dating, and for online dating specifically, like, listen, you just went on a bad, I know exactly what happens. You just went on a bad date. It's a 3-day weekend. You don't want to be on the 3-day weekend alone. That's why these 3-day weekends get the highest sign-up rates for online dating sites. And what's happening? An online dating site, not so much OkCupid, like, but Match.com, like, you know, they put those really beautiful photos of people on their homepage. And you're like, oh, I want to meet this guy. Let me sign up really quick to get to John Doe as fast as possible. And John Doe, let's say John Smith. John Doe sounds really dark. You know, you're trying to complete the profile as fast as possible because you want to meet people. And then you forget about it.
And then you forget. Yeah, that's definitely
that first 48-hour period is just such a roller coaster.
It's such a roller coaster. And so, by the way, I'm going to give you, so mistake, don't feel like you're not filling out your profile. Hack, like a quick profile hack that really works is put lists. And do this for two reasons, meaning like in the self summary, someone's like, I really know what to say. And that, you know, you want to be funny and cool. And like, I'm not trying too hard, but like, mm-hmm. you know, irreverent. Sure. We all do, but like, don't wait. Like everyone's like, I want to wait till I'm skinnier, till I'm this. Like, just stop all that. Just get going. And in the beginning, while you, cause you can always update it, put, you know, list out like favorite places I've been. Favorite shows I binged during COVID, whatever.
That's a good one.
Right. Jobs, what I wanted to be when I was a kid, albums that changed my life, whatever. Just, and why this also works is because guys are idiots and they need help. I'm assuming you have mostly women listening to your podcast, but this is true for guys too. And you got to give them something to ask you about. It's like, if you see
message
somebody,
bait.
Walking, what's that?
Message bait.
Message bait. Exactly. So list your favorite albums and put 10. I don't know. It gives them something to reach out to you about. And I'll give you another like mistake with a hack. And that is not getting on your app enough.
Again, that's a good one.
You know, again, like if you're all these, you're training for a marathon or you're wanting to get healthy or I don't know, you're trying to be vegan or you're reading a book or I don't know, you're getting your master's. You don't do that with like 2 minutes a week. You have to put the time in. And slow down while you're there. And so the hack to that also is get online on Sundays. Sundays are the biggest day. There is an immediacy to getting on your profile on a Sunday. In that,
what time? What time on a Sunday?
It's after 11.
After 11 p.m.?
The whole day is great, but after 11 a.m.
After 11 a.m.
on Sundays. And it's like if someone right swipes you and they just did it and then you just did it or they sent you a message, you can reply that day. You know, one of the things that's happened is because people are kind of dating again, they're like, I sent a message, I never heard back. Well, on Sunday, you're way more likely to get responses to that and to hopefully set up the date for, you know, Thursday or Friday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, or Tuesday. Yeah.
So Thursday or Friday, that's too far. 48 hours. That's what we do in our office. We always tell people like you need a message three times and be like, okay, let's take this off. Let's meet in real life in 48 hours. Like, you know, I'd say like if it's a Sunday, say, okay, Tuesday 7, does that work for you? And if they respond back with like, no, and if they don't even give you like an alternative, then they don't want to meet you. But if they're like, yes, then great. You have a date on Tuesday night. That's my hack.
I love that hack. That's a great
one. It's a good one. It works. 48 hours. I do not believe in talking to anyone, a stranger online for more than 3 messages or for more than 48 hours for that matter. Like, hell no. How many people are listening to this podcast right now that accidentally fall in love with a stranger that they did not meet? And I get it that people live in different cities, but listen, I'm in New York. Well, I'm in New Jersey, but when I was single, I was in New York. If I met a guy that I was talking to in Philly, and if I could hop on an Amtrak or if he could hop on an Amtrak, fuck it. Let's meet in Metro Park, New Jersey. I don't care. Like, we'll figure it out. But I don't want, like, the timer begins. It's 48 hours.
And that is the best advice there. We were once approached to do a show about people that met online, fell in love, and then had not met in person. And the show was all the first meets. And I'm like, no way. There is never a good reason. If you've talked to somebody online for a long time and you have not met, you're not actually in love. And they're probably not who they're for sure not who they say they are for more
they're for
than
sure
one
not single. If it's a man that keeps sure talking to you and doesn't want to meet you, they are for sure not single.
They are for sure not single. So it's really good advice that you're saying that get to the date.
Use online dating sites like OkCupid to get offline as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, exactly. Melissa, that was amazing. Thank you so much for coming to the Ask a Matchmaker podcast.
Maria, this was so fun. And I just thank you for putting out like all the good dating advice that you do. I appreciate it.
Where can people find you if they want to follow more of your work? I know sometimes they feature you in Ad Week. So if people are in advertising and marketing, definitely look at Melissa Hobley here. But are you on OkCupid? You're also Melissa Hobley, right?
Yes. And on Instagram, I'm Melissa Hobley. And by the way, if you want
Did I just say on OkCupid? I meant Instagram. I'm sorry.
I am on OkCupid. I'm on dating apps around the world. On Instagram, follow me. And if you want to try OkCupid Premium on me, like DM me and I will hook your listeners up with 3 months on me. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Thank you so much, Maria. This was so fun. And I love what you do with Agape.
Can you give us, instead of everyone DMing you, and I'm sure 500 people will, is there an affiliate code opportunity here? Can you send us a thing?
Apple and Google don't allow any app to do promo codes. That's why you have to isn't that annoying? Which is why whenever you're listening to a podcast, you're in the radio or hear an ad, you'll never hear a promo code for an app ever. It's only on the website. So like casper.com/Maria for 20% off.
Okay. So is there something like that where we could be like okcupid.com/matchmaker Maria?
We can set it up. It'd have to be for the desktop experience, but we could set that up.
Well, if it's to save up, how much? $40 a month, $120. Yes. If it's to save $100. Okay. So if it's to save $120, people will go on a desktop.
Yeah, they will.
Can they go on their Chrome or Safari app on their iPad or has to be on the computer?
Yes. You just cannot. Yeah. It has to be like the desk. I don't know if it works for iPad. I'll look into that.
Look into it and let me know. And if that's the case, I will put the link in the episode notes for people to hit so they can get to get those 3 months. And shout out to my producer who's going to keep all of this in so that people know how we came to this. Because I don't want them to lose it. Anyway. Melissa, it was amazing talking to you and thank you so much for coming to the Ask a Matchmaker podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Maria.
And thank you for listening to Ask a Matchmaker. As I mentioned previously, if you'd like to speak to me on an upcoming hotline episode, follow me on Instagram at Matchmaker Maria. I'll post a link on Wednesdays and we'll chat then. Until then, you can learn more about what I do or enroll in an upcoming Agape intensive by visiting agapematch.com/services. Thank you again for listening to Ask a Matchmaker. Be lovable and more importantly, be likable. See you next week.